Good morning. It's great to be here. Great to see all of you here today. Great to see the worship band we had here. Thanks so much for everybody. It just sounded awesome. So to introduce the topic for today's sermon, I want to show you a picture of a book. Has anyone actually read this very popular book that you're looking at right now? All I really need to know, I learned in kindergarten. You've heard of it probably, but no one's read it. Okay. You've read it. All right, good. So in keeping with the spirit of that book, I want to tell you a little story. Let's say that once upon a time in Southeast Michigan, there was a kindergarten teacher. Her name was Mrs. Crumrine. I know that sounds like a Peanuts cartoon character. Mrs. Crumrine. So she wanted to play a certain game. So what was the game that she wanted to play? Okay. Anybody play that game when you were preschool or kindergarten? But Mrs. Crumrine, you know, she's a wise lady. She wanted to play this game with a purpose. She had three things in mind that she wanted to begin to teach the kids. So the first thing she wanted them to figure out and to learn how to do was to answer the question, are you really listening? Are you really listening? Okay. Because as you know, Simon says the idea of the game is that there's someone in front leading and the kids are there. And so the leader's going to call out commands, usually physical commands. You know, Simon says, put your head on your hand. Simon says this, Simon says that. And it's the job of the people listening is to determine the difference between genuine commands and sort of fake commands. And so the idea is that if you did something that the leader was doing, but Simon didn't say that first, then you had to sit down, you were out. But, you know, old Mrs. Crumrine, she's thinking, well, okay, we're going to teach them some lessons. Are you really listening? She wanted to know if they were listening close enough to hear whether she spoke the word Simon says before the command, but she had in mind to teach them that sometimes you have to think about the habits that you do in your mind, and maybe they have to be broken. So the second question the teacher had in mind was, can you change your way of thinking? Why is that? Because she knew how to get them. She knew how to trap them. She would say, Simon says, lift your right foot. Simon says, lift your left foot. Simon says, raise your right hand. Now raise your left hand. So that was a pattern. She knew that the way to trap them was to get them to dial up the patterns in their mind and to think, well, maybe the way I'm used to thinking isn't always the best way to think. So this is what she had in her mind. Then she had another thing in mind. Whenever the winner would win, she would clap, everybody would clap, and let's call him Julius. He was the smartest kid in the class, and he would have Julius sit in the front off to the side. And so he would win, and then for the next game, whenever she would say, well, come on, dude, what would the kids do? They'd look at Julius to see if she wanted them to understand that sometimes it's good to follow a good example. And that's why she would praise this person, because that was going to help her with every part of her class. Any teachers here? Do you have good influencers in your class? You have some bad ones? Some you know, born leaders can come in either stripe. So you always want to try to lift up and praise the good leaders, and the kids would follow that example. So she used this game, Simon Says, to try to teach those things. Are you really listening? Can you really break your thinking patterns, your habits? And also, can you follow a good example in the class? She got a lot of mileage out of that. Well, as you might imagine, that story is actually based on a true story, because that was my teacher, Mrs. Crumrine. That was really that was my kindergarten teacher's real name, Mrs. Crumrine. And what she would do is whenever somebody would, like me, would do something stupid and mess up, she would say, uh-oh, you have to sit down. Simon didn't say that. Now, would Mrs. Crumrine ever imagine kicking me out of the class? No, because she loved all her kids. But would she hesitate to take me out of the game? Okay, you see where I'm going with this? Okay. So we are going to talk about this general concept. The reason I brought up the Simon Says thing is I'm hoping it helps you to really remember. what we're about to say. Because in praying about this lesson, it seems like the Lord was saying, you know, for a small church, for this kind of church where everybody kind of knows each other, this can be kind of important, okay? So we're doing a series on the book of James, and the name of this sermon is You and Your Own Words. You and Your Own Words. For those of you who know the book of James, there's a pretty big section in there about the power of the tongue. What does the Bible say about the power of the tongue? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. That's what the Bible says. To get started, let's look at some background scriptures that talk about how God created the universe. Who can recite to me the first verse in the whole Bible? Okay, can you do the second verse? The earth was formless and void. Chaos was upon the face of the deep. And Spirit hovered around the... And then what? And God said, let there be light. And God said, let there be light. So from day one, he establishes the family business. Speaking light into darkness. God said, let there be light. Mankind fell by persuasion. Mankind has to be saved by persuasion. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God said, let there be light. So why is that important? Because in the beginning of the Gospel of John in the New Testament, John the Apostle of Jesus wants people to understand who Jesus really is. So this might be new to some of you, so see if you can follow along. You know, as Mrs. Crumrine would say, are you really paying attention? This is what it says in the beginning of John. In the beginning was the Word. It's talking about a person. The Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So here you go. If you take all the Bible together, we learn that God is three in one and one in three. As I've said before, just as space is height, length, and width, right? Height, length, and width. Each one is different, but each one is one. The universe is time, space, and matter. Time is past, present, and future. Space is height, length, and width. Matter is solid, liquid, gas. Human beings are body, soul, and spirit. And God said we're going to make mankind in our image, body, soul, and spirit. So to say that God is three in one and one in three is really not that unusual if you look around. What John is saying is this. Let's continue. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. So who is that scripture talking about? In the beginning was the Word. So Jesus Christ is the God said, let there be light. So you have the creative intelligence, the Father. You have the Word who became Jesus on earth. You have the Word, which is the expression or command of the creative intelligence. And then the power that carries out the expression or command of the creative intelligence. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So God is saying, I want you to get this straight right away. This is the way I do things. That's the family business. You speak light into darkness. You call those things which are not as though they are. That's what the Bible says. And that's who Jesus is. Jesus came. Jesus Christ was God the Son and the Son of God. He came to die for our sins. He came to take the punishment we all deserve. His blood on the cross was payment for our sins. Say this if you know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And he rose from the grave on the third day so we would also live forever with him in heaven. That's called the good news about Jesus. So who Jesus is combined with what he did on the cross, helps us to understand some other stuff that he said. He said some pretty radical things. Here's one that he said. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. Why would he say something like that? Let's look at another one. Truly I say to you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So Jesus said some things that sound like there's such a thing as, here's a theological term for you, a prayer of command. It's called a prayer of command. When you speak to something, he would speak to the fig tree. You shall bear no fruit. He spoke to the fever when Peter's mother was sick. He spoke to the fever. That was a prophecy because Jesus knew he was going to send the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. Did you hear what I just said? He's beginning to introduce to his disciples the family business. He's saying, this is new. This is not the Old Testament. This is the new covenant. I'm here now. And when I'm here, we're going to do things a certain way. When I'm here, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And this is how it's going to work. You're going to look at the darkness. You're going to say, let there be light. And the Holy Spirit is going to make sure there's light. Or you're going to say to a mountain, be moved, and it should be. So, okay, time out. So you're sick, right? You come to me and say, Pastor Dominic, I'm really sick. And I know I'm not supposed to say that I'm sick because that's not faith. You know what I'm going to say to you? Don't say I'm not sick because then you're lying. You say in the name of Jesus, you speak to that mountain. You speak to the mountain. And you say, in the name of Jesus, I command you. You do this. You know, we just took a trip to Indianapolis to the Indy 500. Anybody ever been down there to the Indy 500, Indianapolis? You know. So you're driving. What's the typical strategy if you get behind, right? You don't give away your moves right in the beginning, do you? You're waiting for the right time to make your move. You're waiting for the right time to step on the gas. That's what you're waiting for. So God in his wisdom, just like a guy in the beginning of a race, let's say a runner. So when the gospel first was brought into the world, he stepped on the gas. And all this stuff, they knew it. They understood it. The apostles were performing miracles and signs and wonders and works of power. And it's just like people's, you know, that he's blowing the doors off of the place. And people's faces were like theoretically, metaphorically just, you know, melting at what God was doing. And then he kind of hung back, right? Because he started to get organized and stuff. Not that I'm against that. But now it's coming to the end of the race. Jesus is going to return again pretty soon. And what's he looking to do? He's in his car. He's going left. He's going right. Because he's getting ready to what? Step on the gas again. And so I'm not the only one who's saying this. You'll find this everywhere. Pastors are saying, wait a minute, aren't we supposed to be able to? Because God's getting ready to step on the gas. So if you're sick, don't say, I'm not sick. You speak to that mountain. You call those things which are not as though they are. There's a difference. Does everybody get the difference? Don't think, I can't say I'm sick because then that's not faith. You know what? You say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I'm well. I'm speaking to this thing. I'm cursing this thing. Because guess what? You know, God doesn't heal everybody. So? Does that mean he would never heal you? So I went to college at Regent University, which is right next door to where they taped the 700 Club, same ministry. And I have a friend there who's still a producer there. And his job was to get all the testimonies of people that would call in about how Jesus had healed them and done these miracles, and then they would send out a team, and they would vet the stories. They'd make sure they were true. They would talk to doctors and family members and whatever. And if it was a true story, they would send a camera crew out there, and they would film this, and it would be some amazing things. Just things that just amazing things. And so the question is, well, yeah, but, you know, God doesn't heal everybody. Well, you know what? Paul said, I have not come to you with words of wisdom only, but of demonstration of the Spirit and of power. People need to know that God exists, that there's such a thing. And if God hasn't healed you yet, be like the parable Jesus told of the old widow that wouldn't stop banging on the judge's door until she got satisfaction. Remember that? Just don't give up. So Jesus knew he was going to send the Holy Spirit. Here's what he said, John 14. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. The world cannot receive him because it does not know him, but you know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. So remember I said we are body, soul, and spirit? So we believe in Jesus Christ, and our sins are forgiven, and the Holy Spirit comes and lives spirit to spirit with our spirit. That's where we're connected. That's why he then said, truly, truly, I say to you, they that believe in me, the works that I do, they will do, and greater works than these, they will do because I go to my Father. That's a prophecy. Now, things have happened before now, but God is about to step on the gas. And I believe he wants to use churches like this one, like you all, to speak to a mountain in somebody's life or your own mountain and see it moved. I didn't make this up. Some of you, if you're mad at me, you're not mad at me. You're not mad at me for saying it, are you? So I'm just gonna say, well, you know, I didn't say it. But I'll tell you in a minute why I am telling you this, if we keep on going. So the Apostle Paul, later on in the New Testament, explains that the Holy Spirit is given to all believers and that collectively then we become the body of Christ on earth in God's eyes. So here's one scripture. Now you are the body of Christ, or you are Christ's body and individual members of it. How many of you heard the term the body of Christ? How many of you understand that collectively we're the body of Christ on earth? Okay. Here's another scripture. He, Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teaching for teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of what? The body of Christ. This means that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and God's intention for you is to carry out that speaking into being, let there be light function thing of Jesus Christ on earth so that his kingdom will come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many of you have prayed that before? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He has this in mind. What that means is that you and I are in the family business of calling things that are not as though they are, speaking to darkness, saying, let there be light, whether we want to be or not. That means the Holy Spirit is in you. What does that mean? It means, believe it or not, that everything you say, it's just one of these things where your words are already prone to have power. Now we're coming to the book of James. Because with that in mind, James, who was the brother of Jesus, who wrote the book of James, that's the oldest book in the New Testament, he's leading the Jerusalem council, and he's starting to see a problem. People are backbiting. People are saying negative things about one another. people are wanting to always give their opinion about Scripture when God is saying, well, no, he gave some to be pastors and some to be teachers. And, you know, there's a lot of gravity there when you start talking about that. You got to be a little careful. And that's why he says this. Let's go ahead and pick up the narrative, James chapter 3. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. So the reason I'm telling you this is because if I don't tell you this, I'm not giving you the whole counsel of God. It's easier not to tell you this. Can I just tell you that? You know, in my past, I won't tell you how old I am. I've applied for a lot of different pastor jobs, even in this denomination. What do you think happens with more than half the churches when they ask you certain questions and you answer the way I've been talking to you? What do they do with your resume? The round file. Well, guess what? I didn't say this. I didn't say this. Did I make this up? Some of you all know this, but I don't even have to tell you. I guess I'm saying, okay, just from friend to friend, heart to heart, what have you done in the past with scriptures like that? There's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of them. You know, speak to the mountain, do this. You shall have whatever you shall say. He says that, well, kind of sprinkles it all throughout. I'm telling you, well, I know why he said that, because it's a prophecy he's talking about now. He's talking about the Holy Spirit coming, and he's talking about the family business. He's saying, okay, that's what I do in the functionality of the Godhead, and now you're on earth, I'm up there, that's what you're going to do. That's what he said, because I go to my Father. This is what you're going to do. Well, but you don't always do it. So, whose decision is that? Well, it's his. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12 that he distributes the spiritual gifts to each one severally as he will. But what do you think he wants now? You know, he wants us to be ready. He wants us to at least settle it in our mind that we're open to this. Because if you were him, would you begin to unleash that kind of power to somebody who's not even open to this? Would you? I wouldn't. Continue with James. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. So James is saying, if you want to know whether somebody's mature in Jesus, you want to know where on the spectrum they are, you listen to what they say. If someone is able to control what they say, they're mature. If someone's able not to, they're not as mature. So I don't know about you, but sometimes I go in and out of being mature and not mature. So I'm not a perfect man. That's a strong word, perfect. All right. Now, if we put bits into the horse's mouths so that they will obey us, we direct the entire body as well. Hopefully, most of you know that you put the bit in the horse's mouth, and that's how you, when you're riding the horse, that's how you direct the horse. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, they are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So we went to Indianapolis, and we were visiting, because my dad, the story, long story, but my dad, I'm the oldest of five children. My dad, who's in his 90s, is the caretakers, is my sister, Linda and Chris. And they have been taking care of him in South Carolina. Chris has a job relocation going on to the D.C. area. And so for 2 weeks, Chris, my other sister, Raquel and Kevin, in Indianapolis, were taking care of him. And we went down to visit. And on the one day that I was kind of there by myself while they were working, kind of helping out to keep my dad company and so on. And so talking to Kevin, who I've known for a very, very long time. He was dating my sister from when they were like 14 or 15. And so great, great guy. And so I was working on this sermon while I was down there. And he saw I was on this part with the boat. He said, well, you know, we sail. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, when Matt was their son, when Matt was in scouting and I volunteered to help with the scouting, there were like five of us parents who got to be friends so that when our kids grew up, we stayed in touch. And now every year we go sailing. We go sailing, we go rent some, and they sailed the Great Lakes a lot. This year they're going to Rhode Island. I said, well, then maybe you know a little bit about the scripture. He said, oh, yeah, here is the picture he showed me. He said, I want you to see something. He said, see, that's the sails, and the thing on at the bottom on that side of the page is the rudder. Anybody here sail? No, okay. He said, it's really amazing. This scripture really comes to life because when the wind, he said, if in a symbolic way, the wind is God and the will of God, because actually wind is one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit. So here's the wind, and it's strong, and you're thinking it's so strong. He said, do you know that the guy sitting at that spot with this rudder handle, it's about that long, in his hand, if he turns it just a little bit, doesn't matter which way the wind's blowing, that sailboat will go off in a totally different direction. Just from that, see how big the sail is? Catching the wind? Now look at the rudder. He said, now that's really true because a lot of times, you know, and I got to credit Kevin with this, we could feel like God, we have the wind at our backs and God's really in it and so on. And yet sometimes the things that we say, God will not override our free will. And so God's doing stuff and then the things that we say, it doesn't matter how strong the wind's blowing. There it goes. That's why saying negative words about somebody else, especially in a local church, has almost supernatural power to destroy it. Because you're already wired to have atomic power with what you say. And God won't override your free will. Did you ever notice that? So let's go back to old Mrs. Crumrine. What was she trying to do with Simon Says? We'll close with this. That God is also now trying to do with us, what Jesus says. Right? First of all, are you really listening? In other words, are you really listening to God's word? Because what does the scripture say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's Romans 10. So we always need to go along with what God says in his word, and especially be careful not to contradict that when we speak. Remember the mountain scripture? You know, don't feel guilty if you're not always, you know, I'm learning. That's why we're here helping each other. You always want to speak in a positive way, a faith-filled way. Because whether you want to or not, whether you like it or not, you're already wired to have power in the things you say. Why? Hopefully I've explained it all to you. This is not hocus pocus. This is not magic. This is what Jesus said. What's the next thing? Can you change your way of thinking? In other words, are you bound by the way you've always done things in the past? And by the way, that's true for a local church. What we talk about, here's what Jesus said about tradition. You make the word of God of none effect through your traditions, where you do things just the way you've always done it. Well, it's also true of us individually. If we've always thought in a certain way, just like old Mrs. Crumrine, I was trying to break that and show you how if you do that, you're going to get in trouble. That's what God is saying. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As high as the heaven is above the earth, that's how higher my thoughts are above your thoughts. So when he wants to do something new, he wants somebody that's able to receive something new. Somebody who's been in Mrs. Crumrine's class and knows that you can get trapped by thinking just because this this is automatically going to happen. No, not necessarily. The next thing, can you follow a good example? Be willing to be led by God's shepherds, hopefully somebody like me, so you need to pray for me, because what did James say about guys like me? You want to be a teacher? You know, the onus is on you, stricter judgment. You better be saying, you better be backing up what you're saying, and you better live, you know, the life that you're supposed to live. That's why it's such a tragedy when pastors fall into sin. So, you know, I'm not better than David and everybody else, so... You know, I can stand before you and say, I think I'm cool, but you need to pray for me just so that there'll be some protection there. Any pastor. Okay. Can you follow a good example? And that includes people that you're with. Do you admire somebody in your life? They're really walking with Jesus? So this is what the Bible says. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. What's the best? Who's the best example? Jesus Christ. If you're here today, God will never kick you out of the class if you believe in him. But he's real serious about the game. And he'll take you out of the game. You do not want to hear, uh-oh, you have to sit down. Jesus didn't say that. You want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So if you don't know Jesus Christ, today's your day. If you haven't decided that you want to follow him, today's your day. Just say this prayer with me. You see how it works? What did Paul say? He said, you know, if you shall believe in your heart, that if you shall confess with your mouth, that's what Paul says, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart he rose from the dead, you'll be saved. Because that's the family business. So you can do that right now. Just say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you're the Son of God. You took my punishment on the cross. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for forgiving me and loving me. I know you love me. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, by your Holy Spirit. Live your life in me. And I will live for you and serve you by your Spirit all the days of my life. Thank you that you rose from the grave on the third day. And I will be in heaven with you forever. Thank you for bringing me into the family business. Amen? Amen. Amen.